Hey, thanks for suffering through Car Talk. You know, you might be hearing this podcast on your smartphone or computer, things that most of us can't imagine living without. But what is all this screen time doing to us? NPR's Guy Raz and the team at the TED Radio Hour are asking those questions in a special two-part episode all about our relationships with our screens, how they're changing the way we interact with others, and how they will be shaping our future. Listen to Screen Time on the TED Radio Hour beginning September 11th. Find it at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app. We'd like to take a moment to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Now, I'm going to make a bold prediction and guess that at some point, you're going to need tires. That's why they call me Kreskin Magliozzi. Now, at TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, can be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. Which leads me to my second bold prediction, that you've learned more from this message than from the rest of our show. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Form versus Function Department. Get that? Department of Form versus Function Department.
Yes.
Here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, we've been taken to task on the issue of form versus function this week by Jim and Elizabeth Ann Glasgow from Rockwall, Texas.
And I read to you the following. Dear Click and Clack, I heard you talking last week about the cars you drive that are somebody else's cars, these loaner cars that the manufacturers are nice enough to let us drive. Your opinion of the
had been nice enough to let us drive.
Before the Taurus incident. There was an incident, Jerry. Your opinion of the Firebird was especially interesting to me. That wasn't last week. How old is this letter? Doesn't matter.
It says unimportant.
Particularly since I've heard you praise the Volvo, the second ugliest car in the world. Maybe you like the Saab more since it is even uglier than the Volvo. Wherever you got the idea that the main function of a car is to be practical, I cannot imagine.
Uh-huh.
It is certainly not a part of your Italian heritage. The Roman Colosseum is functional. That's where they fed numbskulls like you guys to the lions. It's a friendly little letter, isn't it?
Indeed.
If you wanted real functional practicality, you would just stay home to start with. It costs less, and you never need to watch a mechanic shrug.
Okay.
The main duty of a car is to be good-looking.
Oh. Really?
To turn heads, to make others jealous, and to make the driver feel rich and famous.
Ooh. Really?
A car that really does its job is one that will do all this and also make your teeth shiny, your hair curly, and childbirth easy. A Firebird can do this. A Jaguar can do this. A Volvo cannot do this.
Well, here's my feeling. Here's my thoughts. Here are my thoughts on that.
Yeah.
All cars should be ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll recount a little story.
Go right ahead.
The time that you lured me into the back alley, that building that you lived in.
Oh!
To help jumpstart a neighbor's car.
Well, I was trying to be a nice guy with your car.
And the alley was barely wide enough for my car, and it was covered with a sheet of ice. It was the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Unsuccessfully, we tried to jump this car, realizing there was something more wrong with it than a dead battery. And my brother leaves. He says, well, okay, see you later. The person who owned the car leaves. And they leave me there to find my way out of this alley. And, of course, now it's dark and even slipperier.
Right.
And I was driving my Ford. It was a 76 Ford, if I remember.
The LTD. How well I remember.
The green LTD. That's the one that caught fire in the hotel in Montreal. That's another story. And as I was trying to get out of that narrow alley, I scratched my car and I became infuriated.
Ooh.
At you!
Me? I was trying to be a good Samaritan with your car.
Yeah, well, that's why I was infuriated. Yeah,
so what's that got to do with form versus function?
Had it been
a week earlier, yeah,
when the car hadn't been all fixed up and painted, I would have just floored it.
Sure, you'd have made it out.
I would have made it out. It would have banged on both sides, you know, all the buildings on either side would have banged it all up and scratched it, but I wouldn't have cared. You realize how many altercations take place every day over cars that get scratched or nicked by some inconsiderate person, because there are some people, like the Glasgows, who consider the beauty of their car most important.
They're taking it too seriously.
Yeah, I mean...
Exactly. I mean, do I worry when I hit somebody? Of course not. But if I had a Jaguar, I would be nervous all the time. I would like to also point out to you, Jimmy, that it's dangerous. Simply liking something because it looks good isn't necessarily the best way to go.
As your wives have discovered over the years.
No, as I've discovered regarding all my wives. I mean, you got to look for something deeper, Jim. You can't just go for cute.
That's right.
Cute can get you in a lot of trouble. We know that.
Cute's good for half an hour.
You got it. I would like to hear other people's opinions on this.
Yes, matter. I'm sure.
I mean, this is a very, very, very serious issue
it is.
That Jim has brought up.
It is. It is indeed.
And it might be
life-altering, one might say.
This is something that Detroit and Tokyo probably want to hear about.
Maybe. Maybe. Well, there have been companies in the past that have made cars which clearly exhibited the function over form notion.
Oh.
Like American Motors.
And American Motors.
They exist
exactly.
No more. And Chrysler, of course, continues to do that, but that's
in the
fine tradition. Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Remind me later to tell the hotel story. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Erica in New Orleans.
Erica.
Yes.
New Orleans. Now, New Orleans is one of the interesting cities of the world.
You know, it's one of the most unique cities in the country, yes.
Yeah. I mean, there are a handful of cities of which there are no copies. I mean, Minneapolis ain't one of them. Right?
No.
Yeah, and this city is full of characters. That's what makes it so unique. Yeah.
And the Café du Monde.
That's right, Whoa. Café du Monde. Oh. The snowballs, the daiquiris.
Yeah.
The drunks.
The winos. The crime.
Right.
The drugs.
Right.
Nice
perverts.
Place.
Yeah, great. We love it. So anyway, Erica, what's on your mind today?
What's on my mind is I have a car problem and an interesting situation that adds a twist. So should I give you the problem first?
Sure, just lay it on us.
All right. I have an 85 Celica, and it has almost 160,000 miles on it.
Excellent.
It's excellent. The problem is Toyotas are too good because this car, it still runs fairly well. I mean, it's not very nice to look at. It's fallen apart, but it has performed very well. But I think I have a potential major problem, which is this. When the car is in gear and idling, and I have the air conditioner on, which I need to use whenever I'm in the car in New Orleans.
In gear, meaning it's an automatic transmission?
Yes, it is.
Really?
Yes. So, So when it's in drive or even in reverse and the air conditioning is on, it makes, from the bottom of the car, I don't know where, this horrible metallic rattling, shaking.
Sure,
current.
No problem.
And what happens is when I come to a stop sign or a stoplight, what I'd have to do is I have to pop it into neutral, and then it goes away. It doesn't happen. But when it's in gear, and I was outside of the car when my boyfriend was driving the other day, I could hear it down the street. It's really embarrassing.
Well, Dougie Berman, our producer, had his hand up going, ooh, call on me,
Mr. Cartier.
Wait a minute. Can I give you the situation?
Yeah.
Okay. That part of the
question is simple and straightforward.
Oh.
But give us the complication now.
Well, it's interesting. I am an impoverished graduate student, and my parents bought this car for me when I was in college. Mm. And they know that I will be an impoverished graduate student probably until the next millennium.
You've been in college since 85?
No, they bought it for me. They bought it for me with quite a few miles on it, knowing it wasn't going to last forever.
Right.
So I get this, I haven't had that many problems with it. But I get this email from them a couple weeks ago, and my dad said, by the way, how is the car holding up? Do we need to think about helping you get, a trade-up? So I'm thinking, I happen to be going home to visit them for my birthday in a couple weeks, and I'm thinking, can I play this out into some sort of major trauma?
See, I could see immediately that when I said that problem that you gave us was relatively simple and straightforward. I noticed a little, not a little, but I sensed a dejection on your part. You were very disappointed to hear that. You were hoping that we would say, that's the end of this baby.
Yeah, the rod bearings are gone.
Right.
That's what the noise is.
But I suppose that's good news for the car.
I mean, we can tell you that. Okay, that's what you want. If you think your parents are listening and you've sent us the requisite $20 bill, we can give you any answer you want.
I don't want to be racked with guilt, though. I would hate to be deceitful. So maybe I should wait until there's a true emergency, like, you know, the engine block cracks or something, and then I could really
We can tell you how to do that, by the way.
No.
How much longer?
I know how to do that, too. Then my dad would kill me, actually, because he's really big on always putting oil in it.
How much longer do you tend to milk this, stay in graduate school?
Well, it's, you know, things, PhDs, they don't just hand out.
Is
it
a PhD in art history?
No, something even less marketable. Can you believe that? I know you're going to make fun of me.
What?
Yeah, we are.
I'm doing a PhD in anthropology.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Well, but I'm it's a very narrow.
We need people to write for National Geographic.
Exactly. And, you know, I do prehistoric Maya stuff, and that's really in vogue right now.
Great.
So,
See, I don't think it's less marketable than art history. Art history is totally unmarketable. There are six jobs in the entire, world.
I know.
On the planet, but think of all the tour guide jobs available
in
Cancun.
Exactly.
You could be in Cancun on Monday.
What a better place to work right there. Than
Not
on
a bad device. Place to work.
Well, for every obscure and bizarre subject that you could possibly dream up, you know, there's five people who study it.
Yeah, and you're one of them.
You're one of them.
Well, here's a story with your car, if you're interested. I know you're
not anymore.
Okay, tell me, because I need to fix it. It's embarrassing.
Either the four bolts that hold the compressor to the bracket are falling out, so when you engage the compressor, you actually make it compress the refrigerant, it's shaking, and that's what that blah, 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 blah. Or the compressor is going bad. Or the compressor clutch is going bad. One of those three things.
Or
it simply could be. In my humble opinion.
That the idle is too low.
Idle is too low or not very smooth. And when you stop and you're in drive, the whole engine is shaking. And that's causing whatever it is under there to vibrate. And Dougie thinks it's the heat shield on the catalytic converter.
Which fell off 3 years ago.
Well, wait, let me talk to Dougie.
It may well be.
Talk to Dougie.
I mean, neither of these things would be terribly expensive to fix.
Well, that's good news for my budget.
It's good news for your budget, and I think the car will last. I mean, first of all, how much driving do you do with the car?
Not a lot.
Not a lot?
No.
So this will certainly get you through a PhD.
Well, Erica, good luck with your car.
Thank you.
And Dad's off the hook for a while.
Well, he'll be relieved.
I think.
Thanks a lot.
See ya. Bye.
Thanks for calling.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Tom and Ray. It's a pleasure to chat with you. This is Vince in Durango, Colorado, and I have a question that I hope will prevent a problem.
Sure.
Vince, Durango.
It's a pleasure to talk to you too, Vince.
What's on your mind, Vince?
Vince, have we ever met? Have I ever spoken to you before? I'm going to tell you what line of business you're in.
Good luck.
You're a teacher.
No.
Oh, no. No.
Isn't it good to be wrong all the time?
Vince is in the insurance industry.
Oh, God.
That's an insult.
No,
you might as well accuse him of selling used cars.
He probably does do that. What do you do, Vince?
Well, I do as little as possible. I'm retired, but I actually... I used to be in the programming business, do computer software.
Computer software.
That was my 11th guess. So you're a self-made millionaire, and you're retired at age 37.
That sounds about right.
That's about right. Well, that's great.
Okay, so what's up, Vinny baby?
Well, we're coming near the end of the season here, and I have a number of toys, like a chainsaw and a weed whacker, that use oil and gas combination fuel. Mm. And my cars all have... fuel injection as well as catalytic converters. And I'm wondering
if you can take that fuel and dump it into your...
You got it.
You cheapskate. I thought you were a millionaire.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You don't know... First of all, I never said I was a millionaire, by the way. But that was your idea.
Oh, that was my idea.
Good to me. But you don't want to sit around all winter with this stuff laying around in your... in your garage. I mean, it's pretty volatile stuff, even inside of a gas container, and also it gets old, so you can't really use it the next season either.
Plus, it clogs up all the little passages there, and all those things won't run next summer when you try to start them.
To drain the tools, into like a gas can.
So what do you got? You got a weed whacker.
Right.
What else?
Chainsaw.
Saw.
That's enough.
A lawnmower.
No.
No.
Oh, really?
So a weed whacker and a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Which together hold about
point six
gallons of fuel.
That's like a quart.
No, no. You have to mix this stuff up in gallon units, pretty much.
Oh, so you've already mixed it up. So you got a big container of the stuff.
Sure. I've got like half a gallon, and I'll have, you know, a bit more that comes out of the tools, too.
Sure.
Well, now the question is, can you pour it into your gas tank? Of course you can.
But would it be wrong?
Second question. Will the car run? Of course
not.
No, it will.
I mean, it won't hurt the catalytic converter if it's done judiciously. In other words, if you had 10 gallons of it, of this gasoline with oil mixed in, and you put it in all at once, I would say that would be a bad idea. On the other hand, don't forget that there are engines that burn oil by virtue of the fact that they have worn-out rings.
Like
and that oil
car.
Passes into, well, yours doesn't have a converter, but that oil passes into the catalytic converter and doesn't damage it. So you can introduce oil into the gasoline and have it combusted and pass through the exhaust system without ruining the converter.
Sure.
So you can't do that. If I had 5 gallons left, I'd probably throw it out if I had 5 gallons left.
No, I mean, if you added a gallon to a gas tank every time until it was gone, that would certainly not make any difference to the running of the car or anything else.
What about the fuel injectors?
No problem. And if you even, I would even put 2 gallons of it in. Because don't forget, in 2 gallons, how much oil is in there? Half a pint or less.
Oh, so, not even.
Yeah. So,
yeah, good point. It's high dilution.
It's very, very little. It's 20 to 1, right? Or 40 to 1, depending on what you got.
That's exactly right.
Sure. So, I mean, you got no oil to speak of in there. I wouldn't worry about it at all.
Now, on the other hand, you can store this gas over the winter.
Yeah.
By putting an additive in, and the one I think of is the only one that I've ever purchased. It's called Stabil.
Yes.
The last time we mentioned them on the air, they sent me a free sample.
Go for the case.
Which I'm still working on.
Right. But I'm a little low on it myself now that I think of it.
But I've been using that stuff for years, and it works great. And it tells you to, it doesn't give you any precise amounts. Just put a squirt of this in your lawnmower, a squirt of this in your snowblower.
It does work, though. I mean, I've been using it in my snowblower for the last couple of years, and it makes a difference because the snowblower now starts, and it didn't used to. But that doesn't make up for the deterioration of the gasoline. But the gasoline obviously doesn't deteriorate
that
much.
With the Stabil in there, it won't deteriorate, and it'll be useful the next season.
Yeah,
it really will be. So you might want to try that.
But if you want to get it out,
hold the gasoline oil mixture from getting old as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. So you can use that stuff year round. Add the Stabil to it. Use it year round. Don't put it in your car. You'll probably wreck your injectors.
Good luck, Vince. Thanks for calling.
Thanks very much.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, although you should be signing up for the John Bugsy Lawler Free Lunch Training Institute fall session. You're instead listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, also known as Tom and Ray Magliozzi. We'll have more of your calls, so don't touch that dial, because if you do, the end of your dipstick may fall right off.
Has a way of evening out your mind. The road has a way of evening out your mind. Nothing smooths you out like that broken poor white line.
And even though the three little pigs wish the big bad wolf would blow down our broadcast tower whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
A quick shout out to one of our sponsors, Casper. They're an online retailer for mattresses. Now, Casper mattresses are American made and obsessively engineered for comfort. So you can fall asleep during the first few seconds of our show and not have to toss and turn until the first call before nodding off. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give just the right amount of sink and bounce. Think 82 Lincoln Town Car. The best thing is that they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days with free delivery and returns. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price, so go to casper.com/cartalk to check out their options. They even have a special offer for listeners of this podcast. Use the promo code CARTALK and get another $50 off. And we promise they won't try to sell you the rust proofing. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and much needed research.
This is a very, very short letter here, but you know how some things just get you?
Just get you.
I mean, the thing is that it's all anticlimactic because the whole key comes in the first sentence. And I'm going to just give it to you.
Yeah.
And you are gonna say, my God. Dear CNC, it has been my observation over the years that if you take a carburetor or a Volkswagen engine apart and put it together enough times, you will eventually have two of them. Isn't it the truth?
You'll have enough pieces left over to make another whole one. Usually you're short just one little piece.
One little piece, but you go get a rebuild kit, and you got the second one all done. I mean, what a brilliant observation. I'm sure that you have observed the same phenomenon.
Oh, getting...
Who is this, by the way? Dave Taylor. I don't know where Dave is from. It came by email. Since you must spend several hours a day in the library reading all available automotive literature, you should be able to answer my questions. One, is there anything in the literature which corroborates my empirical observation? And two, if so, are there statistics which address the question of how many times various automotive parts, for example, a carburetor, an automatic transmission, etc., must be disassembled and reassembled before there are enough parts to make the two of them? This has been a concern of mine for quite some time. Thanks, Dave Taylor.
Well, I know in my little junk drawers of my toolbox, I have enough pieces.
Two cars.
Oh, exactly.
Whole
fleet of cars. That's just missing the crankshafts, I think. It is true. You're taking apart enough.
Take a carburetor apart and put it together enough times, you will eventually have two of them. Well, that's a classic. A classic.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Daniel from Falmouth, Maine.
Daniel, look, before we start,
yeah,
we've spent a lot of time on just a couple of calls here, so we're going to have to really hustle this.
Okay.
So we're going to give you the bum's rush. You don't mind, do you?
I don't mind.
Okay.
Right. I'll try to be fast.
Ask us something like with a yes or no answer.
Yeah. What? I won't. I could ask a lot of yes or no questions.
You do whatever you want.
Okay. Here we go. I have a 91 Stanza, Nissan Stanza.
Yeah.
It had a lot of transmission problems. Basically, the thing had to be rebuilt, and it took them three or four times to get it right. Eventually,
automatic or manual?
Automatic.
Yeah.
Shortly after finally getting it fixed, I began to have the following problem.
Overheating.
No.
Okay.
No.
Don't go putting words in his mouth. It's taking up more time.
Right.
Static on the radio.
Stop it.
I thought I was supposed to be fast here.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
after driving this car for a few miles, if I turn the wheel sharply, for example, like pulling into a parking slot 90 degrees from the direction I'm going,
uh-huh,
there is a very loud, very forceful vibration from the front end, like that.
And the noise occurs from the same side, whether you're turning left or right, or is it?
It's the whole front end seems to shake hard.
Hmm.
If I'm partway through the turn and straighten the wheel out, it goes away.
And it has never happened like if you were coming off of a highway and taking an exit and taking a pretty sharp turn to come off an exit?
Sure it would.
I've never had it happen under those circumstances.
Yeah, okay, my brother is sorry I asked that question.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sorry. No.
So I took it back to the transmission place, had him put it up on the rack. Their opinion was that actually it had nothing to do with the transmission. They were sick of seeing me, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But they thought that there was some issue going on with the brakes, where a brake or both brakes were sort of heating up and grabbing.
I don't think so. You can get this to happen making your tight turns without stepping on the brake.
Absolutely correct.
Right.
I don't have to step on the brake.
Well, I think they're right that it has nothing to do with the transmission, but I think they're wrong that it has something to do with the brakes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that comes immediately to mind is that you have a bad axle, a bad constant velocity joint. That's the thing that comes to mind immediately.
I asked them if it could be the CV joint, and they said, oh, no, it's not that.
Well, but this was a transmission place.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't know.
Really?
No. Do you have a regular shop?
Not...
A regular doctor, so to speak?
Right. Who's your primary
care mechanic?
Who's my primary care? my gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Not really. But I could take it to the dealer.
Well, you could. See, the problem is because you don't have a primary care person, you have no one that's going to go out of his way for you.
Right.
The transmission guys, we know, hate you.
Right. They do. Very, very badly.
Yeah. So you really can't, I mean, they don't want to see you anymore. They don't care, quite honestly, if the wheels fall off and you die. Matter of fact, they may be hoping that, that happens.
Right.
So I was going to suggest if you had somebody that was willing to, quote, work with you a little bit, you could ask that person to replace one of the axles or maybe both of them and see if the noise goes away. I suspect that that's going to solve it.
Okay. Let me ask you this. If it is the CV joint or the axle, am I in danger here of something
not yet.
No. As a matter of fact, the best way to approach this, if it were my car, if I were you, is I would let it go until it gets worse, until, in fact, it begins making the noise under the circumstances that my brother explained 25 minutes ago.
So a more gentle curve.
Yes, exactly. Exiting a highway on a ramp of constant radius of curvature, you'd get
But when
that happens, you'll know you have a bad axle.
So now the next question is going to be, you know, how much money and is it worth even doing it or should I just get rid of the car?
Well, it's a few hundred bucks an axle at the very least.
Okay.
All right.
I will
Do we answer any of your questions?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, actually, it was it's very helpful because I doubted this brake diagnosis.
Wait, that was the yes or no part of the,
yeah,
of the question.
Yeah, that's right. Here you go. I have a question for you. Is it the brakes?
No.
Okay, great. Thanks.
See you, Daniel.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks
for
calling, Daniel.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Jody.
Hi, Jody.
Is that with a Y or an I?
With an I. Unbelievable. My husband said that's the first question they're going to ask you.
Well, which is it?
It's an I.
Unbelievable.
It's an I.
And where are you from, Jody?
From Marlton, New Jersey.
Who?
Marlton, New Jersey. It's just over the bridge from Philadelphia.
Oh, Marlton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A funny accent.
Your husband is a smart guy, huh?
Okay.
He can't be too smart. Listens to us once in a while. So what's up, Jody?
Well, I have an 84 Chevy Cavalier, and I am burning oil. When I first discovered it, I was burning a lot of oil, and I have no explanation as to why I'm now burning less, but I burned like 3 quarts in a week. And then since that was about 4 weeks ago. Since then, I've been burning about a quart a week. I don't have any puddles under my car, so I really do believe that it's burning.
I believe it, too.
And I've taken it to two people, and they've given me completely different answers, and I don't know who to believe.
Yeah.
One person said that they suspected that it might have to do with my catalytic converter, that there's some sort of, I think they called it, he called it blow-by.
Yeah, he's got blow-by. We're going right through his brain.
Right through his brain.
So forget him. What did the other guy say?
Well, you don't want to know the truth. I can't remember exactly what the other guy said, but it was more under the hood, and he said he'd have to take a whole bunch of stuff off.
Did it start with an R?
Maybe. If you say it, I'll remember it.
Rings?
Yeah.
He's right. Yeah, this car is
Well,
on
I mean, they're
the,
both right, actually.
This guy is on the this car is on the inexorable path to heapdom.
To where?
But heapdom.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's in New Jersey someplace. It's right next to
Mount exit?
Are you sure that this is an irrevocable path?
Well, that might change. No, it is. Yeah,
great.
How many miles do you have on it? Like 80?
Yeah.
79 or so.
Oh, what a shot!
he's done
right.
For.
And what it needs is an engine, basically, an engine rebuilt.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
I wouldn't
it must
do
be
it.
Belching blue smoke out the tailpipe.
Well, actually, I've been trying to remember to get someone to follow me and tell me whether I am. But
doesn't
nobody
matter.
Will, huh?
Doesn't matter. I don't need to.
But a quart of oil per how many miles?
500.
Well, I drive a lot. I drive about 100 miles a day, and so I've been putting in a quart a week.
500. I hit that one right on the money too.
Yeah.
Jeez, Thomas, you're on a roll.
I'm on a roll. Let me guess. One more try.
Don't press your luck.
I'm going for the hat trick. Is this Cavalier red?
No, it's this ugly tan color.
Oh.
It was inherited
from
my grandmother.
You inherited it from your grandmother, and grandma never changed the oil.
Well, she swears she did.
All of those old geezers lie. You cannot believe.
We do not.
Hope she's not listening.
I hope not. Well, I mean, it does need an engine rebuild, and you have to decide whether you like this car enough.
I hate this car. car, but it gets me around.
Oh, perfect. If you hate this car, then it is the ideal opportunity to dump it.
Is it going to stop running at some point soon?
No.
You hope so.
You should be so lucky. It, unfortunately, it will run for many, many moons burning oil like this.
Yeah, and polluting.
And polluting the atmosphere.
I mean, New Jersey is probably already the most polluted state in the country.
Right. In New Jersey, they might not even notice that it's polluting the atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, it's your civic duty, Jody.
Jody with an I.
Jody with an I. It's your civic duty to dump this.
Is that D-U-T-I?
It is your civic duty to get rid of this thing, because it is, even though it may run,
right,
when you're belching out all this smoke, and it's not nice. I mean, the country is polluted enough, and so is New Jersey.
All right.
Good luck, Jody. Go die.
Bye.
Thanks, Jody.
All right, thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Carol from Edwardsville, Illinois.
Is there an E at the end of it?
My name?
Yeah.
No.
I didn't put one.
Well, Edwardsville has an E.
It certainly does.
Yeah. Illinois.
Yeah.
Which part of Illinois is that?
It's sort of a metropolitan area of St. Louis.
St. Louis, Illinois.
St. Louis to you guys. I'm from New Jersey, so it's St. Louis to you guys and Illinois.
No, we say St. Louis.
Oh,
I
you
always
do?
I didn't know it was in Illinois though. But
you
that's
know,
but that's okay.
I live across the river.
It's right across the river.
Oh,
right.
I know that. Yeah, East St. Louis.
No. Well, yeah, I'm north of East St. Louis and
north of East St. Louis and south of West St. Louis.
Yeah, like
excellent.
That.
All right.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you guys that I am so devoted to you that I broke up with a guy once over you.
Really?
I did. We were going on a day trip, and I said, well, as long as we're leaving in the morning, I have to listen to Click and Clack at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning in the car. And he said, not in my car. Those guys are rude and obnoxious.
Yeah,
and I said, hold it. If you think they're rude and obnoxious, then you don't understand me at all, because I love their sense of humor.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what I get. You know, you don't get me then.
And that's
it. So that ended pretty quickly.
Yeah, and have you had any luck finding another guy?
No,
it's pretty tough, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, you set those high standards.
Not everybody gets you guys.
Yeah, you got to lower the bar a little, Carol.
Well, I have a spiritual dilemma, and you should know that I'm a minister, so I'm calling you for a spiritual dilemma.
Oh, we are ministers also.
I know.
Yes, you know that.
And that's why I appreciate you so much.
Okay.
I have a wonderful car, an 89 Toyota Corolla wagon.
Uh-huh.
That I absolutely love.
Great.
It's been a wonderful car. 184,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
My 25-year-old son is a graduate student, and he's a musician, and he needs a reliable car, which he doesn't have. The plan was, when I graduated and became a minister, I was going to get a church and get a new car. And that sort of has happened, except the church position I have is only half-time.
You only get half a car.
Mm. So I decided not to look for a car. The plan was I was going to give him this one if I found a car. But I decided not to, you know, actually go out and look for one. Mm. But I found one sitting in a car lot one day as I was driving past that just was calling to me. You know, Carol, look at over here.
It does happen.
It's a Volkswagen Jetta, GLX, loaded.
Uh-huh.
Gorgeous. It's the green. It's the color and everything that I want.
Oh, that dark green?
Yeah.
Isn't that a nice green?
Gorgeous color.
Yeah.
30,000 miles. I took it to a mechanic. He said, I would buy this car. All it needs is a wheel alignment. The guy before me apparently didn't rotate the tires.
Yeah.
The place I'm talking to said, hey, we'll throw in the new tires and a wheel alignment, you know, for the cost of the car.
What are they asking for it?
They're asking $15,700.
My guess was 14.
Yeah, and 14 was my limit. And so my question is, help me out here. I'm going to cry when I give up my Toyota, but I'd rather have my son have it and know that he has a car that's a sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want something a little jazzier. The Toyota was very practical and got us through a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I'd like something a little, you know, something for people to talk about. Hey, look at her.
You do have I understand the nature of your spiritual dilemma.
Thank
I wouldn't
you.
Have called it spiritual. I mean, on the one hand, you're a minister.
Right.
And you should, I guess, therefore show the characteristics of ministerness, whatever that is.
Right, whatever
and
it is.
Jazzy ain't part of the description.
However, However, I'm a Unitarian minister.
Ah, then you're all set.
Makes a big difference, right?
Yeah, there are no rules there.
That's right.
Just go right ahead.
That's what I
thought. How about a Ferrari?
Z3? So, I mean, you don't think I'm crazy to give away my Volkswagen, my Toyota to my son?
Well, not at 184K.
Okay.
No.
Well, how much does he need a car?
Oh, badly.
I mean, but is he going to do a lot of driving?
Well, he has to drive from, he's at Indiana University. He has to drive from Bloomington to Indianapolis once a week for an position he has.
Now, here's what I think the spiritual dilemma is.
And you're not going to like this, Carol.
You're not going to like this at all.
What?
Carol?
What?
How come it hasn't occurred to you that you should give the Jetta to your son?
Oh, he wants to know that question, too.
Of course. And?
Are you crazy? No.
You are a Unitarian.
It doesn't work that way.
that's great.
That's right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He doesn't deserve any brand new Jetta.
No.
Of course not.
You're totally cool with giving this my wonderful Toyota to my son, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I think you deserve the Jetta, and I think you're absolutely right to say, if you'll pardon the expression, to hell with your son.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
okay.
Come on.
Well,
let him work for his own car.
Well, thanks.
Good for you.
I appreciate your advice.
Good luck.
Thank you.
See you, Carol.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Tommy, look, it's time for us to take a little break.
And when we come back, are you going to have a new scintillating puzzler?
No, the puzzler's still on vacation.
Still on vacation? I mean, what's going on here? What happened to the Protestant work ethic?
Well, the puzzler is apparently agnostic.
When's it coming back? I want a date. I'm not letting you go to the break until you give me a date. I want a date.
Well, I can get you a date, but you'll have to put the bag over your head again. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute.
Like Lonesome Long John at the top of the pole, and a new world's record is my big goal. I'm a flagpole sitter sitting in a brand new Ford. Yeah, I'm a flagpole sitter, and I'm gonna win a new Ford. I'm 40 feet up in the Phoenix sky, and I long to come down as the days roll by. I'm a flagpole sitter sitting in a brand new Ford. Yes, I'm a flagpole sitter living in a brand new Ford.
And even though the ACLU wonders if this whole free speech thing is really such a hot idea whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, thanks for suffering through Car Talk. You know, you might be hearing this podcast on your smartphone or computer, things that most of us can't imagine living without. But what is all this screen time doing to us? NPR's Guy Raz and the team at the TED Radio Hour are asking those questions in a special two-part episode all about our relationships with our screens, how they're changing the way we interact with others, and how they will be shaping our future. Listen to Screen Time on the TED Radio Hour beginning September 11th. Find it at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app. This episode of Car Talk and the following message come from SimpliSafe Home Security, the smart way to protect your home and family. SimpliSafe is award-winning home security that provides around-the-clock protection and is built by top engineers in the country. You can rest easy knowing your Sleepy LaBeef collection and Ginsu knife set are safe. There are no long-term contracts, so you're never locked in. Try it out, enjoy a 10% discount, and show support for Car Talk by visiting simplysafe.com/cartalk. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and not the new Puzzler. Not soon. Well, soon. I mean, you know, any week now.
Yeah, sure. In the meantime, I read mail. I'm getting sick of it.
Go ahead. It'll be sooner than you think.
They're like little sayings. Just a whole page of little sayings. I'll just pick out a few. A bumper sticker. Honk if you love peace and quiet. I feel like I'm diagonally parked in a parallel universe. I wonder how much deeper the ocean would be if there weren't any sponges in it. Did you ever think about that?
No.
Give a man a fish, and he will eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, and he'll sit in a boat and drink beer all day. These are a few that actually, we used these before, but they're so good. Change is inevitable, except from a vending machine. And my favorite, a day without sunshine is like night.
There you go.
There are hundreds more if you want to hear
them.
No,
that's quite all right. Look, for those of you who are suffering from PDD, Puzzler Deficit Disorder, you can check out this week's archival puzzler at cartalk.com. Or if like my brother, you're suffering from ADD.
You mean attention deficit disorder?
No, answer deficit disorder. You can give us a call at 1-888-CAR-TALK and we'll try to help. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron in Boulder Creek, California.
Hey, Aaron.
How you doing?
We're doing great.
Aaron.
Yes.
Aaron.
Boulder Creek.
One of the few names with a double letter in it.
Hey, you got it.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to have a double letter.
What, A-R-O-N?
Yeah, could be.
Could no.
be. But it isn't.
Like Elvis Aaron Presley.
He's only got one A in his Aaron?
Yeah, they were poor. Yeah, I believe so.
I believe Elvis
only had one A in his name.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'll look into it.
His complete name only had one A. Anyway, Aaron, what's up? You're from Boulder Creek, California.
Yeah, it's near Santa Cruz.
Oh, California.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I have a 1992 Suzuki Swift. It's like a little Geo, but it has four cylinders instead. So it really goes, man.
Oh, yeah, that's a real Hummer, that thing.
But anyway, it has like 94,000 miles on it now. And at about 65, the engine light would start coming on. And so, okay, well, I need to go take it in. And as soon as I would get the appointment set up and I would be almost there, it would shut off. And I would say, well, now I don't have to take it in. But now I have like 94,000, and it keeps popping on, and it'll stay on for like a day. And almost as I'm pulling into the driveway of the mechanics, it'll pop off and then stay off for like 2 months.
That's okay.
So, I mean, can they pick up on the computer if something's wrong with it?
Yes.
When the light's off?
Yes.
They
Yes. They may.
Well, that means I have to take it in then.
Well, it usually will store stuff for many days, you know, like 50 starts or so.
Yeah.
So that if, in fact, it comes on today, you don't have to bring it in today or take it in today. You can wait a day or two, but it would behoove you to take it in as soon as possible.
So next time you're in the driveway, just keep going and pull in. Don't turn around.
Well, I live like 50 miles from where my mechanic is because Boulder Creek is sort of in the Santa Cruz Mountains, so we're in the boonies also.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah?
That's all right, yeah.
But now it's been off for like about 2 months, so is it still going to be stored in there?
No. No, it's gone now.
Okay, it's gone.
It's gone, so you'll have to wait. When it comes on again, I trust it runs okay?
Yeah, it runs fine.
How many miles? You said 90-something thousand miles?
Almost 94.
Oh, you need an oxygen sensor.
That's it?
Well, I don't know. I guess.
Could I do that?
Extrapolation. My brother is on this idea of you hear a couple of sentences and get incomplete information, and zingo, just give an answer because it's going to be wrong anyway. Why waste everyone's time
getting
irrelevant facts?
Well, I'd rather go get an oxygen sensor and put it in.
No, I wouldn't do that. It could easily need an oxygen sensor, especially when you say that it happens after a long trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair assumption that it could need that. But it could need something else, too. And But if the thing seems to run, it passes the smog test?
Yeah, it just did.
It just did?
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, it still could be the oxygen sensor. But I would have the thing scanned. Take it to your guy, have him scan it. If he says it's the oxygen sensor, say, they weren't the morons that I thought they were.
Okay.
Good luck, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I've got to tell this story because this is one of the meanest things my brother has ever done to me. Aside from breaking my nose when I was a little
boy.
That
was an accident.
That's what you say. You had that fiendish look in your face.
No, it was an accident. I was trying out my curveball.
No, you're trying, but you told me to put my hands behind my back. And I listened.
You did. You were a dumb little kid.
Okay, I'm going to throw you my curveball. You can't use your hands to catch it. Why not, Tommy?
Catch it in your teeth. That's how I did it when I was a kid. When Dad taught me.
Many years ago, I took my family on a trip to Montreal, Canada.
Yeah.
Back when
I remember this.
Back when they still spoke a little bit of English there, but not very much.
Yeah.
And we had spent a couple of days at this wonderful hotel whose name I don't remember. And one night I was sitting in our room watching the television, and the phone rang. And I picked it up, and the voice said, Monsieur Magliosi? I said, yes. This is Henri, the concierge. I said, yes. Did you used to own a late model Ford LTD? And I said, pardon me, used to own? Monsieur.
There has been an unfortunate accident.
There has been a terrible fire in the garage of the hotel. And your car is burnt to a crisp.
Totally demolished.
Mon Dieu. And as he was explaining this with this beautiful French-English accent, my mind was racing, trying to figure out how I was going to get the family back to Boston without a car.
And the contraband
cigars. And the 500 Cuban cigars that I had bought. Exactly. And it was only after many minutes of my agonizing and asking Henri what I could do, where I could rent a car. And, of course, every question I asked, it was, no, 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 monsieur, that is impossible. We don't rent cars in Canada, et cetera, et cetera. And as I got more and more despondent, finally, Henri began to laugh. And I realized it was my brother. So I just want everyone to know what a mean streak he has in him.
That was, I have to say, I had a rollicking good time.
I did call Dougie once to pretend to be an Internal Revenue agent.
There, I rest my case.
Well, I had a good teacher. One 888 car talk or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Beth from Fort Collins, Colorado.
Did you say Beth or Bess?
B-E-T-H.
Oh, Beth.
Beth.
Yes.
From
Fort Collins. I've got a strange question. I'm writing a novel about a college girl in 1928 Kansas who joins a sorority and meets the daughter of a Chicago bootlegger who drives a 1925 Buick open touring sedan.
Yeah.
Anyway, the girls are taking a trip from Emporia, Kansas to Manhattan, Kansas, which is about 75 miles, and I need to know how long it takes to get there.
And is it little country roads?
Well, they're actual highways. One of them is definitely paved. The other one, we're still trying to figure out whether it was paved at the time or not.
It was probably paved. If you took an average of something between 30 and 40 miles an hour, I think you'd be safe.
Does the success or failure of your novel depend on
what we tell you?
Or the information you're getting from us? Or is it...
Well, that would be kind of frightening, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? Yeah, it would be. Yeah, but I mean, in 1925, you could easily travel 75 miles.
In an hour and a half.
Okay.
Especially if they were driving in some boot. Don't forget, if anything, the bootleggers' cars could go faster than anyone else's. They had to be able to outrun everybody, especially the police.
Gotcha.
You know, so if they're in the bootleggers' car, I don't know what a 25 Buick looked like.
Those were the very square-looking cars. It looked like Dad's 32 Chevy.
It's got a really long front.
Long front, but very boxy. And the Buick may have been an 8-cylinder car, but it was probably a 6-cylinder car.
Yeah, and it...
But it could easily do 60 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I would say so. I think.
But you'd be much safer thinking that it did 40.
Okay.
So what's the name of the book?
Well, I don't know that yet.
What's the working title? Crap I Have Written?
Right. 65 pages so far.
All right, well, keep us posted.
Good luck, Beth.
Okay, thanks.
And if we find out anything to the contrary, we'll post it on our website.
Super.
See you, Beth.
Thanks.
Bye. Jeez. How are we supposed to know? 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jeff from Baltimore.
Jeff.
With a J or a G?
With a J.
Yeah. From Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I have kind of a theoretical question.
Ah, yeah.
I have a 1990 Mazda 626.
Well, I have to write this down. Mazda 626.
All right, already. We're still young. Come on, let's go. Let's go.
It doesn't even matter. Okay.
I was listening to the radio the other day. Excuse me, Jeff. But there is a guy who's been on the radio in the Boston area probably for 50 years. And what he does is He has a cooking show. And people, I've mentioned this before, people call him with recipes. And he writes them down as they give it to them.
And repeats
everything that they say.
For example, we'll reenact a little.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I would call and say, Gus, I've got a great recipe for banana bread. And he says, oh, yeah,
great.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. 2 cups flour.
2 cups flour.
17 bananas.
17 ripe bananas.
Ripe bananas.
And the show goes on and on like that until you just doze off. I mean, do not ever listen to this while driving at high speed or operating dangerous machinery. He must be a charming guy, and he must have a tremendous patience.
And the people who listen must have.
And a good contract.
Great contract.
Anyway, Jeff.
Mazda 626. Okay. Yeah, Jeff.
So I had a squealing belt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I pretty much ignored it. It only happened when I was starting up and maybe sometimes when I turned on the AC. And I lived with it. And then, of course, one day, I was just gotten on the highway to drive back from Washington to Baltimore. It's about 30 highway miles, and I heard a thump. And the light came on, the check engine light came on.
Yeah.
And I knew right away the belt had broken.
Yeah, it was the check belt light.
The check belt light.
Yeah.
So it's a two-part question. It's about 30 highway miles. Could I have driven all the way home?
Yes.
No. Well,
what time of year was it?
What?
What month was it?
August.
No.
Maybe. A 9626 may have the timing belt that drives the water pump.
Yes, that's what I'm worried about.
In which case, you may have been able to drive considerable distance as long as the battery held out.
So what's the answer? Maybe?
The answer is maybe.
I know the answer is you want the answer to be maybe because you drove the whole 30 miles.
No,
he didn't. He did.
Well, let me get to part B.
Part B.
Part B was, could I run the AC?
Yes. You did that too.
No, I actually didn't either. I pulled over.
Yeah. No, there are two things that you have to worry about. One is overheating.
Right.
Because if the water pump isn't turning,
it'll melt.
Then you fry the engine.
But you would have known. How far did you drive it?
Oh, just to the next exit, and there was a gas station.
How far was that?
How far? Less than a mile.
Less than a mile, yeah. And the other thing you have to worry about is having electricity because, you know, as you may know, the engine runs on electricity,
right,
even though you put gasoline in it. The electricity would have made it because all it's doing is feeding the spark plugs with spark, which is very low current drain.
Right.
As long as you didn't do anything silly like turn on the air conditioner.
Right, which represents a big current drain.
That's a big current drain. But
Certainly
the battery would have lasted for 30 miles.
I see.
But whether or not it would have overheated, we don't know because we don't know what runs the water pump.
So I could have done it and kept an eye on the temperature gauge.
Correct.
Does this car have one big belt or does it have several belts?
I think it has several.
It has several. So the air conditioner belt may have been intact.
Right.
But it was the alternator belt that snapped. And it snapped because it was 100 years old. You must have 88,000 miles on this
thing. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and you never changed the belts. Until,
I don't know.
Until the other day.
He doesn't know.
I did now.
Okay, well, while you're at it, you might want to have someone change the timing belt. Just a suggestion.
Oh, I did do that at 60.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Was that the right thing to do?
That was good.
That was cool.
But that was a good question, you know?
Okay.
That's it.
Thanks.
Piece of cake. See you, Jeff.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to
kidding.
Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and gastronomic advisor, just back from the Labor Day Let Them Eat Cake-a-thon, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. Myfoot. Our pseudonym consultant is Norm DePlume. Our dermatologist for teenagers is Don Pickett. Our emergency room physician is Henrietta Badclam. Our staff dentist is Phil McCafferty. The Car Talk musical director is Donna E. Mobile. Our senior citizen driving instructor is Tonya Blinkeroff. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our staff mediator is Sue First. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester, of course, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Louis Dewey. Known to the dormless student sleeping in the ivy of Harvard Square is Hugh Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And above all, don't drive like my brother.
And above all, secondly, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week, we hope. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1537, download other insomnia-curing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com, where you can also get answers to your car questions. I know it seems unlikely from Car Talk, but lurking on the Car Talk community pages are real mechanics who actually know something. Now, if you have a question, try it out. Car Talk community over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's president dives into his isolation tank whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.